All right, let me jump on into the Right Side Way opening monologue. I'll remind you guys that the Right Side Way is every single day brought to you by attorney Stan McDonald. Stan McDonald, attorney at the law firm of Wilmer and Lee. He's a 30-year veteran in the practice of law. He is a longtime conservative. And oh, by the way, he's your daily sponsor of the Right Side Way. And I'll tell you more about Stan here in just a few minutes. All right, let me just start off by saying, you know, like many of you, I remember where I was on 9/11 as the events of the day unfolded in New York City, Washington, D.C., and in the fields of Shanksville, Pennsylvania. It was a devastating day. It was a day filled with dread and uncertainty. It was a day that ended lives, destroyed property, and launched a 20-year war. It was also a day of coming together. As a nation, I distinctly recall the sense of national unity that galvanized the American spirit that day. It was a sense that politics mattered not and that nation mattered all. New York City was all of us. The Pentagon, that was our house. And the stories of calls from the final plane that went down to Pennsylvania with the heroes collaborated to say, let's roll, as they took down their own hijackers and saved countless other lives doing so. I'm telling you, man, it was something. Images of firefighters raising the flag at Ground Zero. I recall seeing crisscross contrails in the air over Alabama as fighter jets took to the skies to provide overwatch. One of my closest friends was in D.C. as the plane roared low over the building he was meeting in, and he ran with others down unfamiliar streets only to be taken in by complete strangers and given lodging in their home. It was all of us. It was a disaster, but it was coming together. It was a clear example of what can happen when a people pull together and determine that the disaster will not be the final word, or that grief will not be our downfall, or that loss will not be the final reckoning. The post-9/11 American spirit was something to behold. And while I despise the acts that led to it, I love the fact that we had that sense of national unity afterwards. That was a national disaster, but the scale alone is not the reason why people rallied. People rallied to each other after 9/11 because that's what we do. That's who we are. That's how we act. Well, this past weekend, in the midst of summer fun and celebrations, another tragedy struck, and it might not have been the scale of 9/11, but for the people who were affected directly, it was. Flash floods struck the Guadalupe River region of South Central Texas over the weekend. If you've seen the reports, then you already know that the waters rose to epic heights in just an hour or so. I've seen videos of bridges and structures that stood 30 feet above the usual waterline suddenly coming into contact with raging waters and debris. Whole houses, trees, cars, all sorts of debris just floated away. But most tragic of all was a much-loved summer camp for girls that had been a mainstay of seasonal excitement and fun for decades. It's called Camp Mystic. You probably heard about it. The waters swept through Camp Mystic in the early hours of the night. Young campers were suddenly victims. Cabins were wiped out. The camp director lost his life trying to save young girls. In all, there have been more than 80 deaths from the raging flash floods, up to 90 perhaps now that the show started. As of last night, over a dozen young campers were confirmed dead with a dozen more missing. One of the deceased was an 8-year-old young lady from Mountain Brook, Alabama, just down the road from me. It was a horrible event. But already the stories of heroism are coming out. One Coast Guard rescue swimmer has been personally touted by Secretary of Homeland Security Kristi Noem for personally rescuing 165 people in one day. That's rescue swimmer Petty Officer Scott Ruskin, doing his first ever rescue event in his career, and he personally intervened in such a way that saved hundreds. And that's amazing. One Texas woman was found clinging to a tree after she was swept 20 miles down the river. A family spotted her and got help, and all manner of rescue efforts were conducted to bring her to safety. Story after story after story, and I'm sure there's going to be more. But what's striking to me is how quickly the left pounced on this event to begin trying to assess the blame to the Trump administration. Democrat Rahm Emanuel once said, quote, "You never want a serious crisis to go to waste, right?" Using crisis for political expediency has to be one of the most opportunistic, galling, and reprehensible things any person could do. But they do it. And the left, they have it down to an art form. The head of the Occupy Democrats group immediately claimed, "It only took 9 days for Trump's cuts to NOAA to kill dozens of children in Texas." Really? Because the last I checked, the National Weather Service office there was staffed up for the events of the weekend. Rosie O'Donnell, who recently fled to Ireland, by the way, pronounced the horror in Texas was because Trump had gutted, quote, "all of the early warning systems and weathering forecast abilities of the government." Not really. She also said, these are the results we're going to start seeing on a daily basis. No, that's not how that works. She's also the one who thought 9/11 was an inside job, by the way. Then there's George Stephanopoulos chiming in from CNN, claiming staffing shortfalls at the National Weather Service, Hakeem Jeffries, Adam Kinzinger, Ron Filipkowski, and more. Texas Democrat Joaquin Castro, instead of comforting his own constituents, decided he would lay blame on the Trump administration. But look, actual ground truth can be found in a statement that was issued by one of Alabama's most trusted people. Weather guru James Spann, a bunch of y'all know who I'm talking about. James Spann, a man who decries politics, he felt the need to have to chime in and clear the record. In a post he put out this past Sunday, Spann said, here's his quote, quote, a flash flood watch was issued for Kerr County, Texas at 12:41 a.m., just after midnight. The watch mentioned isolated rain amounts of 10 inches and stated, quote, excessive runoff may result in flooding of rivers, creeks, streams, and other low-lying and flood-prone locations. Creeks and streams may rise out of their banks. But then, he says, that was followed by a flash flood watch that was issued Thursday afternoon. A flash flood watch, a warning, was then issued at 1:14 a.m. for Kerr County. A flash flood emergency was then issued at 5:34 a.m. for Kerr County and the Guadalupe River region. Then he says, National Weather Service Austin San Antonio had 5 people on staff during the event. They normally would have only had 2. Extra staffing was actually put in place before the event started. This type of flooding on the Guadalupe River, as James Spann points out, is nothing new. Similar events have happened in 1998, 78, 35, and 21, and this year's events was related to deep moisture from a tropical storm. So yeah, there's a lot of noise out there. There's a lot of laying of blame, a lot of political posturing, and none of it is correct, and none of it is reasonable, and none of it is helping the people of Texas who lost so much. I'm also mindful of the fact that the same pundits and politicos who are casting aspersions at the current White House are the same ones who were silent after the train derailment in East Palestine, Ohio. It took Joe Biden a year to visit that disaster scene, and by the way, he never declared it a disaster for federal relief. President Trump, he's already issued a disaster declaration for this past weekend's floods. He announced that he'll be headed to Texas later this week. Today's naysayers are also the ones who were mysteriously ineffective in assisting the people of East Tennessee and Western North Carolina in the wake of the devastating damage wrought by the storms of Hurricane Helene, where people continued to live in shacks and with nothing left to their name for months without relief from the Biden administration. The bottom line is this. No one bears direct fault for a natural disaster. What matters is how you handle it. What matters most is what comes after. We're told in Scripture in John 16 that in this world you will have trouble. We're also told to fear not, for I, Jesus, has overcome the world. What matters is not the fact that bad things happen, basically. What matters is what we do with them. All the political posturing and the attempts to get Trump are so feckless as to be laughable, but yet they aren't funny at all, really. I mean, get your act together, people. Rally up for the folks who are doing the doings and that need our help to assist our family and friends out there in Texas. If you want to get involved, there are some great organizations already active and physically present. There's Alabama's Church of the Highlands, which has an incredible disaster ministry that literally takes truckloads of gear and supplies into disaster zones all the time. There's Franklin Graham's Samaritan's Purse, which has already entered the disaster area. Of course, there's the Red Cross, already engaged and should be. You can support each one of these organizations directly, or you can support them financially, and I encourage you to do so. The question here is not one of politics. The question is not one of blame. The question is not one of what if or who didn't or shoulda, coulda, woulda. The question is, when you're faced with a reality, when a disaster occurs, when there's a loss of great magnitude, what will you do with it? Well, right now, we're in the disaster aftermath, and our folks out in Texas need help. Not politics. And that's a wrap for The Right Side Way.